Today is a WRAL weather alert day, and we have severe thunderstorm warnings in some of our southern counties. I'll show you what's happening there and where else we could see warnings today.
Plus, right now, state investigators are giving more details of the hundreds of threats made to schools in North Carolina last year. Here's what's being done to curb the numbers and keep your child safe. Thank you for joining us here on WRAL News on a weather alert day. We have a level one severe weather threat and a flood watch across most of our area today.
Yes, we do. And this is Chris Lovingood alongside me, Michelle McConaughey, in for Renee and Jeff this afternoon. As Chris mentioned, we do have that WRAL severe weather alert day. You are looking at a live picture here of the WRAL storm tracker at this lunch hour. Elizabeth is standing by. She just mentioned that severe thunderstorm warning for our southern counties. Elizabeth, where exactly are we talking about here?
A little bit of Cumberland County and a bit more of Sampson County. This started about an hour or so ago. This is the second warning that's gone out for this area. We'll zoom in and I'll show you that warning in particular. So they just adjusted it. So it must have happened just in the last couple of minutes. This severe thunderstorm warning lasts until 12:30, but a piece of it was in the southeastern portion of Cumberland County as well. So again, they've shrunk the area or they feel like there could be damaging winds. Winds could be up to 60 miles per hour, could knock down trees, and could also cause some damage to homes and buildings potentially. You can see how just recently, just like right at noon, they trimmed that down just a little bit. Lots of heavy rain still, thunder and lightning in Fayetteville as well as in Sampson County. We move up to the north. You can tell that we don't have as much red and orange showing up here as we're looking at Wake County and parts of Chatham County and Lee County, but definitely some lightning starting to develop. Not likely to see anything severe here just yet, but because we are seeing severe storms down to the south, I would expect that to lift northward across the area. A couple little cells just beginning to pop up near the Virginia line from Roanoke Rapids back over towards South Hill. So that's an area that we will be watching as well. So we have the severe weather threat that covers almost the entire viewing area, but we'll have a better chance for severe storms south and east of the triangle. Damaging winds and hail would be our biggest threats, but we could see an isolated tornado or so. We did see that system as it was developing down there in down in Sampson County with a little bit of an indication of some spin in the atmosphere, but it did not look like a tornado formed. We could see another 1 to 3 inches of rain as we head through the afternoon, so we could see some flooding, especially in our western counties. Notice right here the green outline. This is where we have a flood advisory until 2:15. We've seen an inch to 2 inches of rain here, and we'll continue to see that also spreading northward. We have the storm tracker that's out right now. We'll take a look at where the storm tracker is, and you could definitely see the rain's coming down as the storm tracker is moving through the area right now. We're definitely looking at a messy day. We're going to start to see, especially the triangle area, beginning to see some heavier rain now over the next few hours. One good thing is it does look like this could taper off a little bit as we get closer to the evening commute. Let's go back and take a live look at Clinton. Of course, Sampson County still under the severe thunderstorm warning, a lot of heavy rain. They're under that flood advisory as well. So be careful there. We're going to watch that cell continuing to push up to the north. We'll stop it here at 12:45. And you can see it's heading toward Goldsboro and southern Johnston County. We'll continue to see between Goldsboro and Rocky Mount this lifting northward and northeastward and then gradually moving out of the viewing area. But those eastern counties especially are going to be at risk for seeing some of those strong to severe thunderstorms. A lot more to talk about. We still haven't even touched on the tropics. We have two systems out there, so that's coming up.
Happening now in the WRAL Live Center, we are tracking cancellations and delays here on RDU.
Right now, you are taking a look at FlightAware right now, where you can see 9 cancellations and a total of 42 delays. I've been tracking this within the past hour, and the number of delays continue to go up. If we take a closer look at the FlightAware misery map to give you a bigger picture look here, Charlotte International right now seeing a lot of cancellations at this time.
So this is something that we will continue to monitor here in the Live Center.
All right, Laura, thank you. Make sure to have the WRAL weather app handy as we track severe storms today. It allows you to keep radar at the at your fingertips there. It's free wherever you download your apps.
New at noon, 2 people are dead after a vehicle crash, and that happened at Zebulon Road and King of Kings Court in Zebulon. WRAL's Carly Haynes is live near that scene with what she has learned in the last hour. Carly, what can you tell us?
Chris, we're not allowed any closer at the moment. Hopkins Rural Fire Department is currently blocking off this road. But take a look at this. Just a few minutes ago, we got a look at some of the severe damage to an SUV involved in that wreck. As you said, First responders confirming that two people have died in this, and it involved a tractor trailer and an SUV. First responders say the tractor trailer is currently stretched out over the road. Police are still investigating there, and there are some road closures that we want you to be aware of, including where we're standing right now. Roads are closed off at Doyle and Zebulon and Fowler Road and Zebulon Roads. Now, roads have been shut down for almost 3 hours now. Hopkins Fire says roads were shut down just minutes after being dispatched. So if you're coming this way, just be aware of that. Also, Hopkins Fire Department says this road is known for speeding. Now, we still don't know the cause of this crash, but that is something interesting to note. Chris.
All right. Thank you, Carly.
And breaking news at noon, a transgender sports ban is headed to the desk of Governor Roy Cooper. The bill would ban transgender girls and women from playing on girls and women's sports teams. And the ban includes private and public colleges as well as high schools. Supporters say people who were born male have an unfair advantage in competing against people who were born female. Critics say it affects only one or two students in the entire state, but sends a chilling message to the LGBTQ community. Representative John Autry has a transgender granddaughter.
This is the time to bring an end to these attacks on LGBTQ and specifically transgender kids in the state. Please, just stop it.
The vote was largely on party lines, with Republicans voting for the ban and Democrats opposing it. Cooper is expected to veto the bill, but Republicans now have enough votes to override his veto.
New at noon, two Raleigh men face charges for a crash on I-540. That happened around 11 last night near the Buffalo Road exit. Sir Ethan Daniel and Divine Hill face a list of charges, including aggressive driving, possession of marijuana, and resisting arrest. State troopers say they tried to pull over a car for aggressive driving when it sped off. The chase lasted about 2 miles until the driver hit another car before losing control and hitting the median. We're gathering more information about an accident in Johnston County. First responders received a call about a car hitting a pedestrian. That happened shortly after 5 a.m. on Buffalo Road in Smithfield. You can clearly see the damage in that crash right here. This is near Smithfield Middle School. And video from the WRL Breaking News Tracker again on your screen. We are working to learn the person's name, condition, and whether charges will be filed in this case.
Right now, leaders are discussing ways to keep your children safer while in schools. This after a school year filled with threats across our viewing area. WRL's Chelsea Donovan just stepped out of the Task Force for Safer Schools meeting and is joining us now with an update. Chelsea, what did they discuss?
Yeah, the Center for Safer Schools and the Department of Public Instruction and Public Safety really digging into data from the past school year to see what they can do differently to make sure that your children are safe while in schools. Now, we learned today from the Department of Juvenile Justice that 1,100 school threats were made on school campuses over the past year. 11% were communicating threats of mass violence and juveniles were charged. 90% were males. We also learned that students themselves reported over 10,000 tips to authorities. That included anything from guns on school property to suicidal ideation to cyberbullying and drug use. The SBI's new behavioral assessment unit, known as BETA, presented trends seen currently in our schools, the vast majority being social media threats and inappropriate comments made on school grounds. Now, the Department of Public Safety says there's been a spike in crime involving young people and guns over the past year. Out of those incidents, the department says only 3% of them happened on school grounds, but they're working to do whatever it takes to get that number down to zero.
Every time a gun comes onto a school campus, we know that it changes the atmosphere and the learning environment for those kids on that school campus.
Now, coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll run through the new plans and pilot programs that will soon make your way into children's schools, your children's schools, all about prevention and intervention. So
we'll have more. All right, Chelsea John Donovan live for us this afternoon. Thanks, Chelsea.
New at noon, a state audit revealed someone at the NC Department of Public Instruction was tricked into depositing more than $160,000 of your tax money into a fraudulent account. That's money from a federal program that addresses learning disruption caused by COVID. The audit focuses on 2021. That is when DPI received a letter claiming to be from a school seeking that federal assistance money that the department disperses. Now, after looking at the audit, WRAL saw that just one letter off in an email meant $165,431 was put into that fake account. Just an hour ago, I talked to State Auditor Beth Wood about this.
In this case, the protocols were there. Had they just been followed, this would not have happened. So how do you enforce people's judgment? I mean, this was a judgment call. The person just chose not to do all the due diligence, get all the documentation that was required.
The person at DPI responsible for this claimed responsibility. It was also revealed DPI overpaid the real school requesting its money by a little more than $15,000, again, because protocols were not followed. DPI sent a letter to WREL saying the issues were resolved, the department strengthened its review process, and it received that $15,000+ back.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center. Since 4 o'clock this morning, we have been keeping our eyes on this live feed from the U.S. Coast Guard on Twitter, and we have the latest development on the search for that missing submersible. It says a debris field was discovered within the search area by an ROV near the Titanic. Experts within the Unified Command are evaluating the information. Again, all new within the last couple of minutes here. The Coast Guard's post on Twitter really didn't give any other details besides this, so we will continue to monitor the situation minute by minute. As we know, this is a round-the-clock effort to find the missing people on board.
A story that has so many eyes on it. Thanks, Laura. Millions of baby shark toys are being recalled after children were reportedly impaled by them. Five on Your Side says the CPSC is recalling 7.5 million Robo Alive Junior Baby Shark Sing and Swim bath toys. The toys have a hard plastic top fin, and 12 times kids have fallen or sat on the toys, causing impalement injuries, lacerations, and puncture wounds. There are specific things you have to do to get your money back. We've posted those step-by-step instructions on WREL.com. Just search recall.
Another Republican is joining the race for the GOP presidential nomination. Former Texas Congressman Will Hurd made his campaign announcement this morning. Hurd served in the House of Representatives from 2015 to 2021. Before joining Congress, he was a CIA officer. Hurd is a rare Republican critic of former President Donald Trump. He was the only black Republican in the House when he announced in 2019 that he would not seek re-election. A bill that would give the president more power to prepare for the next pandemic is being introduced to Congress today. The new legislation hopes to target supply chain issues that came to light during the COVID-19 pandemic. The bipartisan bill would empower the White House to negotiate trade deals on medical goods and services with America's trusted trade partners. Americans have also faced periodic shortages of antibiotics, common pain relievers, even baby formula. Next at noon, she was asked out on a date after she was robbed. We'll explain the bizarre crime and how the woman responded.
Also, four people are dead after a tornado in Texas. Officials share the impacts of the storm on the close-knit neighborhood.
And the end of an era. Why a local glass plant is shutting down and how many people might lose their jobs.
Download the new WREL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
New updates this noon on two court cases in Russia. A judge in Moscow rejected an appeal of American journalist Evan Gershkovich. The judge upheld an earlier ruling that he should remain in jail until late August. The 31-year-old was arrested in March on alleged espionage charges while reporting on Russia. Gershkovich is the first American journalist since the Cold War to be detained in Russia on spying charges. The U.S. government has called for his immediate release as Russia has provided no evidence to support their allegations. And in a separate, Russia Supreme Court dismissed a lawsuit today that was filed by jailed Russian opposition leader Alex Navalny. He complained that prison officials no longer give him pen and paper while others have it for an hour. All of his lawsuits and petitions have been rejected by Russian courts. Navalny is serving a 9-year sentence for fraud and contempt of court in a maximum security penal colony.
Back here stateside, an Indianapolis man charged with a strange robbery is due in court today. Police say the man approached a woman and stole $100 from her. Then he forced her to send him a friend request on Facebook. Police shared the messages between the two that night. Court records show he promised to pay her back and then asked her out on a date. She told him that she had a boyfriend and wished him well. But it turns out the man was charged for a separate case just last week. In that case, officers say he shot two people and hit someone else in the head with a brick. The mayor of a city in Georgia is calling for an independent investigation after a video posted by a police department outraged residents. It happened in the city of Villa Rica, about 30 minutes west of Atlanta. The police department posted a video of white citizens using an image of a black man for target practice at its firearm training course over the weekend. You see it right here. It also shared pictures, and people called the images offensive and disgusting. The mayor says the post sends the wrong message to the black community.
It was immediately clear to me that the selection of these images used in this training was offensive.
The chief says there is no sinister intent. He says that day they ran out of a variety of other targets at the range, so they put up the ones of that black man.
At least 100 people are recovering from non-life-threatening injuries after a hailstorm pummeled a crowd at an outside concert venue. This happened last night at Red Rocks Amphitheater. Musician Louis Tomlinson was scheduled to play, but he never took the stage because of this weather. Look at this video here. Two concert attendees said they had to race to find shelter.
T-minus 10 seconds, people were like walking down as fast as they could, and then this hail started belting, like everyone in the head.
All of a sudden, people started like running, they were tripping over each other, were trying to run for cover, screaming in agony.
My goodness, Red Rocks Amphitheater postponed the performance twice because of the conditions before finally canceling for the night and telling everybody to go home.
At least four people are dead and 10 others are injured after a tornado in northern Texas. The tornado barreled through the town of Matador. That's a town with less than 600 people. Homes and businesses were destroyed and search and rescue efforts are being made. Authorities say all people in that small community have since been accounted for, though.
A town of this size, with such a small population, with the amount of damage that they experience, it's not only physical damage, but the economical and emotional impact that it will have on this town is very well significant.
The National Weather Service says the strength and rating of the tornado won't be known until surveys are completed. Just that Texas just keeps getting hit. They don't need any more of this.
I know. It's horrible to see. Taking things locally here now, meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has been tracking rain and now a severe thunderstorm warning for our southern counties. Elizabeth.
We still have that severe thunderstorm warning in effect down here for Sampson County until 12:30. So just a little under 15 more minutes. But we'll likely see more of this. You can see this heavy rain coming up out of Duplin County, and that's moving up into Wayne County. We could start to see some more warnings spreading northward. Certainly flood advisories with this. We've seen flood advisories in effect down to the south. I'll show you the outlines of those as well. But this is a look at our severe thunderstorm warning that's in effect from Clinton northward up across parts of Sampson County until around 12:30. We'll take another look at this area. And again, you can see plenty of heavy rain, some lightning in that area. Whenever there's a severe thunderstorm warning, that means that the winds could be 60 miles per hour or stronger, which can definitely knock down trees and cause some damage. So you just want to be on alert in that area. Again, I feel like this is going to continue to lift northward. The rain's not as heavy from Smithfield to Benson to Sanford to Raleigh right now. It's plenty heavy, but we're not seeing that potential for severe storms. Starting to watch a few cells, though, popping up from Roanoke Rapids to the west, back to, say, just north of Henderson and Warrenton. This is an area that it's possible that we'll see a severe thunderstorm warning. The National Weather Service is saying about a 40% chance that this area, which is going to be the northeastern portion of our viewing area, could go under a severe thunderstorm watch. And we may see more of these severe thunderstorms. As a matter of fact, this just happened. It just popped in. We are now under a level 2 risk for severe storms from Northampton County down through Edgecombe and Wayne counties. That includes parts of Johnston County as well. So some of our eastern counties in this level 2 risk, this is where we'd have the best chance of seeing tornadoes as we head through the afternoon. Damaging wind and hail would also be risks in that area. We still have the flood watch in effect as well, 1 to 3 more inches in some places. Here's a look at where we have a flood advisory, and that's in effect for Clinton, Fayetteville, back across parts of Hope County. That's until 2:15. I would expect to see that moving northward. Here's a look at where the storm tracker is, just north of Benson, just west of Four Oaks. We'll take a look at what's happening there. You can see plenty of heavy, heavy rain. As of course, all of that heaviest rain is down to our south right now. It does look like it's going to be sitting over us potentially for the next few hours. So just be careful as that next band moves up. It looks like some of the heavy heavier rain may be out of here by the time we get to the evening commute, which would be good news. This is the area that we're going to be watching closely. Watch that darker red color between Clinton and Goldsboro. That's going to be about 12:30. This is 1:30 as it lifts between Goldsboro and Rocky Mount. 2 o'clock there at Edgecombe County. You're going to watch that. That area where we're seeing the red and pink, that's where we'd have the best chance of seeing severe storms. And that starts to pull out of the viewing area by around 4 o'clock. We'll still have some rain behind that, but that area where we could see damage looks like it lifts out by around 4 o'clock. This is a look at Apex. It is pouring in Apex right now. Our temperature is 73. We're going to climb to around 78. We have two systems that we're watching in the tropics right now, and we've got to get to them. 130 miles east of Barbados, we have Tropical Storm Brett, and that system is going to continue to move to the west. It's likely to dissipate in the Caribbean as we get into the weekend. We also have Tropical Depression 4 with winds at 35 miles per hour, moving west-northwest at 15. It is likely to become Tropical Storm Cindy by the time we get to this evening and move north and dissipate into early next week. Sorry, there's just a lot going on. 79 for today. Temperatures will warm up. Finally, Sunday looks like our first dry day with a high of 90 degrees. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll continue to check in on the warnings that we have across our area.
You said a lot going on there, Elizabeth, and we will continue to track the storms throughout the WREL Weather Alert Day. So join us again on our 4 o'clock news for a live look at conditions across our area. Plus this story, a state Senate committee will hear from the state elections director in about an hour. Today at 4 o'clock, we'll learn what they asked her and whether it relates to the election overhaul bills passed this week.
And then at 6, WREL's 5 on Your Side is tracking new developments in their investigation into the North Carolina State Treasurer's Office. Tonight, how a botched audit of the state retirement system ended with some people living on long-term disability being kicked off the plan. And next at noon, we've been told that it's important to have at least 3 months' worth of savings in case of an emergency. But what a new survey reveals about the comfort level of many Americans.
Because it's so easy to spot them not only in water, but also anywhere around water.
Three mothers saw a need and they are meeting it head on. How a product designed to give them peace could also give you peace of mind. Elon Musk adds two words to the list of recognized slurs on Twitter. Cis and cisgender are both now considered slurs on the social networking site. Both are usually used to describe someone who is not transgender. Musk hinted that using the words in repeated, targeted harassment could lead to a temporary suspension on that platform.
Many Americans say they're uncomfortable with the level of emergency savings that they have set aside. A new survey found nearly 9 in 10 people would feel better if they had enough money to cover at least 3 months of expenses. More than 20% have no emergency savings at all. Most working Americans say they add to their rainy day funds at least once a month. And Amazon is not the only place that you can find big deals next month. Best Buy announced a Black Friday in July event to counter Prime Day. It runs from July 10th through the 12th, and shoppers will be able to find discounts on electronics from brands like Samsung, Apple, and Sony online and in store and through the Best Buy app. Exclusive access to special deals will be available for My Best Plus and other members.
There was an economic setback for Wilson today. A longtime glass company is closing. Hear why workers, though, should be able to find new jobs.
Last summer, when my daughter ran off of me at the beach and I came home, I started just researching patterns, what materials I needed.
Necessity truly is the mother of invention. How a trio of moms came together to launch a product they hope that kids will stay safe around water. And as we had to break, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers. Good luck.
Today is a WREL weather alert day, and just minutes ago, Storm Prediction Center upgraded parts of our viewing area to level 2.
Yeah, and you are looking at a live picture from our WREL storm tracker this lunch hour. It's in Johnston County near Meadow. Elizabeth Gardner is in the WREL Severe Weather Center with a look at where the storms are developing right now, Elizabeth.
So here's a look at that level 2. It stretches all the way from the east, which is, you know, we really all day have been looking at the potential for some tornadoes in the eastern part of the state. So it backs up all the way into Johnston County. It includes Wayne County, Wilson County, Nash County, Edgecombe, Halifax, and Northampton counties in that level 2 risk. And that's the area that we've been watching very closely for tornadoes to form. We're also looking at the potential for a severe thunderstorm watch north and east of the Triangle area over toward the coast. Damaging wind, lots of heavy rain, hail is possible, and an isolated tornado. We did have new severe thunderstorm warnings pop up to the east of our viewing area. And at 12:30, the severe thunderstorm warning down here in Sampson County expired. So we don't currently have any severe thunderstorm warnings across our area. You can see that will fall off as we take it right through 12:30. But we still have a lot of heavy rain, lightning, and this will continue to develop. We're seeing heavy rain stretched through Smithfield, Clayton, and Raleigh. And I'm watching these cells that are starting to develop from Roanoke Rapids back to the west. This is an area where we've seen a little bit of clearing. And you know, when we see clearing, we tend to see a good destabilization of the atmosphere and the potential for some stronger cells. We still have our flood watch that's in effect from the Triangle area westward. The reason the watch is in effect here and not in our eastern counties is because of the rain that we've seen so far this week. We've seen 2 to 3 inches of rain here. Everybody's likely to see up to 3 inches of rain today. We've already seen some very heavy rain around Fayetteville and Clinton with this system that's coming up out of South Carolina. And of course, that's going to continue to spread northward. The flood advisory just actually was extended up across parts of Wayne County and Johnston County. And this one here lasts until 2:15. So we'll likely to continue to see that spreading northward. We take a look at Andrew. And Andrew, of course, right in the line of this next wave coming through. It is pouring here. It's going to make for some very messy travel. And this is the line of thunderstorms that we're most concerned about. You can see how it's very heavy at Clinton right now. You can watch the darker colors just south of Goldsboro lifting northward and spreading eastward there in as you move to the east of Rocky Mount there in Edgecombe County and then Halifax and Northampton counties. And that's going to be over the next few hours during the afternoon. Most of that's out of the viewing area by around 3:30 or so, but we do continue to see more scattered thunderstorms. So keep it tuned here. Download your WREL weather app and set it for alerts for severe thunderstorms and tornadoes. Turn on the TV. We'll be tracking this for you all afternoon. Meteorologist Mike Mays already in the building working with us right now.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, we continue to monitor that updates coming from the U.S. Coast Guard on the debris field that was discovered within the search area by an ROV. Of course, the ROVs were sent earlier this morning. They're French ROVs, and now we know that a debris field was discovered today. Now, the latest from the Coast Guard is that they're going to have a press conference happening today at 3 p.m. In Boston at the Coast Guard headquarters there, where they're going to be able to discuss more information about what this means, because all we know right now is that a debris field was discovered. This is something that we will continue to monitor right here in the WREL Live Center.
All right, Laura, thanks for the update. An economic setback for the town of Wilson this noon hour. A longtime glass manufacturing company announcing this morning it is shutting down. WREL's Ken Smith joins us with the economic impact this plant closing will have on that small community, Ken.
You know, Michelle, we're talking about Arda Group that's operated that glass company in Wilson since the early 1980s. It's a glass production facility for beverage containers. Arda says the plant will close next month, putting almost 400 people out of work. Now, while it's a setback for the Wilson economy, town leaders were not surprised given how tough the glass industry is these days, competing with plastic and aluminum. I talked with the executive director of Wilson's Economic Development Council. Jennifer Land says the town will work to replace Arda with another company, and she's confident its employees won't be out of work for too long.
There are a lot of open industrial jobs in Wilson right now, so there is a lot of opportunity for all of the folks who are working at Arda now with other plants that are located here in the community.
Now, with this plant closing in mind, we thought we'd look at the unemployment rate in Wilson. In April, that unemployment rate was 4.6%. Last month, that number jumped to 5.1%. Now, compared to a year ago, that unemployment rate was 4.7%. Of course, I asked Lance about what companies could replace Arda, but she wasn't willing to disclose which companies just yet. But she did confirm there are a number of companies the town is targeting. Michelle.
I'm sure. Truly the end of an era for that company, though. Ken, thank you.
In our county-by-county coverage, it's going to take us to Franklin, Harnett, and Johnston counties. A new project to bring broadband to Franklin County is moving forward. The company Brightspeed has already received $4 million in state funding for this project. The award required Brightspeed and the county to come up with $437,000 each, and they did. It would bring broadband to 1,400 locations in that county. And if you live near Campbell University, well, don't be alarmed if you see emergency personnel this weekend. The Campbell University College of Pharmacy Health Sciences will hold a mock mass casualty incident. That starts at 8 a.m. Saturday at Smith Hall and should wrap up around noon. This year's scenario is an industrial accident that will cause multiple traumatic and environmental conditions. About 140 people, including children, are scheduled to participate in this. And you're invited to celebrate a change in leadership at the Clayton Fire Department. A public reception is happening today at 4 o'clock for former Chief Lee Barbie. He served at the department for nearly five decades. The fire department is still searching for his replacement. Today's reception will be held at the Clayton Center on East 2nd Street.
And this evening, the Durham Police Department is hoping to bring in new talent as it deals with a shortage of officers. The department is hosting an in-person hiring event at its headquarters downtown and a virtual one as well. It runs from 6 to 7 tonight. Durham Police have been holding these job fairs twice a month. Earlier this month, a group of officers told City Council they're having to deal with a continued staffing shortage. They're calling for higher pay. Engineers, planners, and more have plenty of feedback to sort through regarding some potentially big changes to Capitol Boulevard. Members of the community spoke last night about a plan to turn U.S. 1 into a six-lane freeway between Raleigh and Wake Forest. It's called a controlled access highway. It would remove all traffic signals and driveway connections. There are four phases planned for the project. Right now, the first one has funding. Coming up, a new report about the rise of preventable deaths across the country and what's driving up those numbers.
And the next time you feel like a nap, well, you should probably take one. We'll tell you about a new report that looks at the benefits of nap time and why it lowers your risk for dementia. New at noon, a report revealed a surge in preventable deaths in every state, largely driven by COVID-19. A nonprofit released a scorecard this morning on 58 measures of health outcomes, equity, and affordability. And according to that report, the maternal mortality rate nearly doubled between 2018 and 2021. COVID-19 was a contributing factor in more than 30% of those deaths. It was also reported that medical debt was an issue for millions of people, particularly in the South. And tonight, you can learn how North Carolina's leaders are working to support people with mental health disorders. Health and Human Services Secretary Cody Kinsley is hosting a town hall that's at 6 o'clock tonight. He'll join leaders from the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians and state lawmakers. The town hall is in Cherokee, but you can watch it on the tribe's social media pages. Recent data shows more than 3 million people with mental health or substance abuse disorders live in our state.
Taking regular short naps every day could be good for your health. Researchers examined data from more than 35,000 people ages 40 to 69. They found participants who napped about 30 minutes each day had a larger total brain volume. Large brain volume is linked to a lower risk of dementia. And the U.S. population reached a record high in 2022. New data released by the CDC showed the median age of people in the U.S. was 38 in 2022. That's a rapid increase from 2020, when the median age was 35. And in 1980, the median age was 30. Fewer children are being born, which low birth rates are the main driver of the nation's rising median age.
We are watching the roads this afternoon as you are looking live in the WREL Storm Tracker. We have got our photojournalist there on I-40 West in Johnston County right now. It's going to be a wet day, folks. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has the updated storm track in the WREL Severe Weather Center on this WREL Weather Alert Day. Three mothers in Maine are the brains behind a new line of swimwear specifically designed for children. Here's Hannah Yavici on how that product could help your child.
Many adults tend to be on edge with little ones around water. That's where these ladies, Mary, Brittany, and Miranda, come in.
Last summer, when my daughter ran off of me at the beach and I came home, I started just researching patterns, what materials I needed. I borrowed my mother-in-law's regular sewing machine, and I just did it.
With the brightest neon colors she could find, Hyvis swimwear founder Mary Estes started making these rash guards for kids.
So this is a sleeve.
Sleeves that at the beginning were not quite there. The last time Mary sat in front of a sewing machine was when she was back in seventh grade.
Dedication, I guess, when you want something for your kids and you gotta make it.
I have three young kids. I have three and under, and one of my biggest fears is losing a kid to drowning or having my kid wander off on me. So I have two autistic twins, and one likes to wander.
We're very vigilant about the safety of our children. We love the beach, we love the water, but we also have respect for the water.
Brittany and Miranda say they quickly became part of the project, not just for their children, but to help protect other kids in the state.
Because it's so easy to spot them not only in water, but also anywhere around water. It was just like a sense of peace.
These sun protective rash guards go from 12 months to 12 years. But the focus right now is the most at-risk ages for kiddos up to 4 years.
And I also know that if for whatever reason I wasn't going to be able to find my children, someone else most definitely would.
And we feel very strongly that the visibility of neon can absolutely provide precious seconds in the event of an emergency. 30 seconds or less, a child can drown.
That was Hannah Yavicki reporting. The ladies created a Kickstarter campaign because of the high demand, and you can now pre-purchase, a rash guard for $25. Once they complete their goal and move into full production, you'll receive your order later this year.
Such a smart idea. I love that. I don't think many people will be swimming today, though. Today is a WREL weather alert day. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking a level 1 and 2 risk for our area.
Right at noon, just about 45 minutes or so ago, the Storm Prediction Center put some of our counties in a level 2 risk for severe storms, and that stretches all the way to the coast. Not a big surprise. We'd been watching the potential for some isolated tornadoes, and it certainly looks like this is the area that we'd have the best chance of that. It's possible that we will see a severe thunderstorm watch as well posted for our northeastern counties. I'll show you where that could come in just a few minutes. The rest of the viewing under area under a level 1, where we could see some wind damage and some hail possibly, but that level 2 area is where we'll have the best chance of seeing any tornadoes. Our severe thunderstorm warnings that were in effect down around Sampson County and Cumberland County have expired at this point. We're still looking at some steady to heavy rain around Smithfield, Clayton, Anger, Raleigh, back down towards Sanford. All of this rain lifting northward. Most of the viewing area is going to end up seeing it, and it's likely to be fairly heavy at times. We also have a couple of cells that have started to develop again around Roanoke Rapids and back to the west. This red shaded area, which includes parts of Wake County and then north and east, is where we would have the potential for that severe thunderstorm watch to go in effect. And this is where we'd have the best chance of any severe thunderstorm warnings or an isolated tornado. We do have the flood watch that's in effect as well from the Triangle area westward. We've already seen up to 2 inches of rain today. And of course, we saw 2 to 3 inches earlier this week in this area shaded in green. And so that's why that area has the best chance of seeing flooding. But we do have flood advisories in effect from Clayton to Smithfield to Goldsboro, back around Cumberland County and Sampson County, a piece of Hope County. And these expire at 2:15, the one in the south, and at 3:30, the one there in the north. So we'll likely see those expanding as this whole band continues to move up to the north. Right here is the storm tracker here on I-40 headed down toward I-95, and you can see windshield wipers really going fast. You want to be careful driving around for the next several hours. Once we get closer to the evening commute, it's likely that everything will be a bit more widely scattered. We won't see as much coverage, and hopefully the rain won't be as heavy. But you can see there, you can see those tractor trailers moving along slowly, and I just want to be super careful. If you don't have to get out and drive in this really heavy rain, obviously you want to not do that. It's a mess out there. Let's take a look at what's happening here with what's next. So here's 1245 on Futurecast. We have this heavier rain that moves up toward Raleigh, but starts to make a band off to the east. And this is going to be where we'll be most concerned about some wind damage or an isolated tornado. So from Wake County to Johnston County, and then you watch this between Wayne County and Wilson County. This is 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You can see where that band is between Goldsboro and Rocky Mount. It lifts at 2:30, a little bit farther to the north. And then at 3 o'clock, this is especially right there. You see that pink area, and that band of thunderstorms could be severe with some wind damage possible or an isolated tornado. Behind it, that all moves out by 4 o'clock. So during the evening commute, we do still have some scattered rain, but it's not as heavy as that band that's going to come through between now and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Here's a look at some of the rainfall totals that we've seen. Easily 1 inch to 2 inches right here in the blue and purple, but we've certainly seen some areas, say around Rocky Mount, that have only seen a trace of rain today. Our flooding risk is medium for the entire viewing area as we see this heavy rain moving through. And it is pouring down rain there in Andrew right now, 73 degrees. So it's cool. We may make it into the upper 70s this afternoon. Of course, we do still have what's happening in the tropics out there, and we'll be updating that as well. So today, WREL weather alert day. It looks like things will be a little quieter for us on Friday, less coverage of storms. And Sunday looks like a dry day for us with a high of 90. I think everybody's going to be ready for a pool day by then. We'll be right back with our top stories.
As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines that we're following today. In case you didn't hear, today is a WREL weather alert day because of the threat of storms. The WREL severe weather team is tracking threats of isolated tornadoes, strong winds, hail, and flooding. We are going to stay on top of this weather as it moves through our area as you're looking in the WREL storm tracker. Stick with us on air and bringing you the forecast with using the WREL weather app. Go ahead and download that if you haven't already.
Less than an hour ago, a huge development in the search for the missing submersible. The U.S. Coast Guard officials say a debris field was found near the Titanic. Now, it's not clear if this debris field is related to the missing sub. The Coast Guard will share updates at 3 o'clock this afternoon. You can look for that live on WREL.com, and you can look for updates on our news at 4.
And a transgender sports ban is headed to the desk of Governor Roy Cooper. The bill would ban transgender girls and women from playing on girls and women's sports teams. The ban includes private and public colleges as well as high school. Supporters say people who were born male have an unfair advantage in competing against people who were born female. Critics say it affects only one or two students in the entire state, but sends a chilling message to the LGBTQ community.
Netflix wants you to promote one of its most popular shows. The company created a fake streaming platform from the new season of Black Mirror. The promotion features a fictional website called Streamberry.com, where users can see titles linked to the series on Netflix. It created another website, YourAwful.com, where users can upload their own picture for a customized poster.
That was an outstanding first episode of this season, if you have not seen it. All right, so do you have a middle schooler who loves math, loves science? Folks, we want to meet them. North Carolina STEM Explorers, a children's program airing on WREL this fall, is once again looking for children hosts. Auditions happen here on the WREL Studios campus. That's between 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Saturday. For more on the audition process or how to submit a video online, visit camproductionsnc.com.
Our pet of the day comes to us from the SPCA of Wake County. Marla is a 7-year-old spayed female. She is fully grown at 66 pounds. She's house trained. And look at those eyes. She has the softest gaze, even softer ears. She's looking for a family with a soft heart to adopt her. She does not like thunder. She's not a big fan of cats. If you're interested, visit spcawake.org/adopt.
There is a massive seaweed blob floating toward the Florida coast, and scientists warn it could bring something dangerous with it to the coast. We're going to explain that today on your news at 4 o'clock. And we are keeping you informed all day long on the changing weather situation.
We are. We'll be back on WREL at 1:25 with a live update from Elizabeth Gardner. NBC News Daily is next. Have a great day and stay safe out there.
Stay safe with the latest WREL Weather Alert Day info. Get up to the minute weather and traffic conditions when you get in your car. In Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.